Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today, we will be exploring. Discover how involved dads and stable homes are superpowers for kids' brains and happiness. Learn why dad time boosts grades and how a safe home helps you learn and grow. Education.
What if I told you that just 10 minutes of pretending to be a swamp monster on your living room floor today could literally dictate a child's math grade 2 whole years from now?
I mean, it sounds like an exaggeration, right? Or, you know, maybe just some bizarre parenting myth.
Yeah, totally.
But when you actually look at the longitudinal data we're jumping into today, that 10-minute investment is, it's actually one of the most statistically significant things an adult can do to physically wire a child's brain for success.
Well, you are here for another deep dive. And today, our mission is to sort through this massive stack of research about early childhood brain development.
Right. And we're zeroing in on two very specific, highly researched secret ingredients that build the strongest, most resilient minds.
Which are involved dads and a stable home environment.
Exactly. And we're going to look closely at the underlying biology here, too. We aren't just discussing, like, parenting philosophies or feel-good advice.
Right. The real science.
Yeah, the research shows how these two specific elements physically change the architecture of a growing brain. It alters everything from immune system responses to long-term language centers.
It's so fascinating. But before we get into the heavy biology, the sources offer a really fantastic visual that you can actually use to explain this concept to the kids in your life.
Oh, the construction site analogy. I love this one.
It's the best. Tell them to imagine their brain is a super cool construction site. Not a quiet one, but a brilliantly loud, massive operation.
Yeah, lots of activity.
Right. And every single day, they are the boss of this site, building complex structures. Like the ability to read big words, solve tricky problems, and process huge emotions.
Is this a phenomenal way to visualize cognitive development? Because, you know, if a child's brain is an active construction site, they can't exactly build a skyscraper with a plastic spoon.
Definitely not.
They need the right equipment, they need power tools to do the heavy lifting, and they need safety gear to keep the site secure.
Which brings us to our first power tool, which is the involved dad. Now, the research draws a very hard line here, doesn't it?
It really does. The data isn't looking at a father who simply, you know, lives at the same address and pays the bills. Presence alone is not the metric being measured here.
Right. So what exactly is the metric?
The scientific metric is active, focused participation. We are talking about getting down on the floor to build blocks.
The swamp monster stuff.
Exactly. We're talking about reading books, talking about the friction that happened with a friend at school, and engaging in physical rough and tumble play.
Okay, so to understand the sheer scale of what that active participation does, we have to look at a major study out of the University of Leeds.
Right, and this wasn't a small survey. They tracked nearly 5,000 children across England.
5,000? That's huge.
It is. And the findings were remarkable for their specific timeline. The researchers discovered that when fathers regularly played and read with their kids at age 3.
Okay, age 3.
Yeah, age 3. Those exact same children demonstrated significantly higher grades in primary school at ages 5 and 7.
Wait, I need to pause and dig into the mechanism there.
Yeah.
We're talking about a gap of 2 to 4 years.
Yep.
How does stacking wooden blocks at age 3 literally translate to a better score on a spelling or math test at age 7? Like, what is actually happening in the brain?
Well, it really comes down to focused attention and the development of executive function. Because, let's be honest, 10 minutes of undivided, undistracted attention from a parent is actually quite rare in a modern, busy household.
Oh, for sure. Phones are always buzzing.
Right. So when a father sits down and focuses entirely on a shared task, like a puzzle or reading, they are modeling sustained attention.
Okay, I see.
The child's brain mirrors that focus. They are practicing the cognitive endurance required to sit at a desk years later and work through a frustrating math problem without giving up.
Wow. And the researchers emphasize that this educational advantage held true across the board, right?
Absolutely across the board. It didn't matter if the children were boys or girls, didn't matter what their racial background was, and it didn't matter what their family's income bracket was.
So the dad's active involvement was basically the universal variable that moved the needle.
Exactly. And the threshold to trigger that advantage is astonishingly low. The data indicates it requires just 10 minutes a day.
Just 10 minutes. I mean, we aren't talking about dedicating an entire weekend to building a treehouse here or spending 3 hours a night on flashcards.
No, not at all. It is about consistency, not duration. 10 minutes of highly focused reciprocal interaction is enough to stimulate those neural pathways.
Okay, wait, I have to stop you there for a second, because I'm looking at this two superpowers chart provided in the source material, and I have to push back a little.
Okay, let's hear it.
It claims moms typically focus heavily on feelings, empathy, and daily care, while dads focus on physical play, confidence, and school smarts. Frankly, it sounds a little bit like a 1950s sitcom stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
Like, moms do this amazing stuff too. Are moms and dads just doing the exact same job on our construction site? Is that actually what the biological data says, or are we just measuring cultural habits?
That is a critical distinction to make, and you are entirely correct that these are broad cultural trends. But the researchers use this chart to highlight the types of interactions, regardless of who is actually performing them.
Okay, so it's more about the style of play.
Exactly. In our current cultural landscape, fathers often engage in a higher frequency of physical, unpredictable play, you know, the classic rough and tumble. But the biological mechanism is what we really need to focus on here.
So what is the mechanism behind, like, throwing a kid on the sofa? Why does that matter academically?
Well, when an adult engages a child in roughhousing, they are creating a highly controlled environment of physical stress. The child's heart rate spikes, adrenaline releases, and they get highly stimulated.
All right, they're super worked up.
Yeah. But because it's a game with a trusted caregiver, they also have to learn how to read social cues. They have to recognize when the game has gone too far, how to set a boundary.
Oh, like saying stop.
Exactly. And crucially, they learn how to calm their nervous system back down when the game is over.
Oh, wow. That completely reframes how I look at playtime.
Yeah.
So learning to calm down after being chased around the house translates directly into the ability to regulate your emotions when you get frustrated by a difficult assignment at school.
You nailed it. It is a masterclass in executive function and emotional regulation. Moms and dads often bring a different interactive flavor to the construction site.
So it's not a competition.
Not at all. One might be the architect of empathy, while the other is the foreman of safe risk-taking. When combined, the child receives a robust double boost of emotional understanding and physical bravery.
That is so cool. And the data shows this boost starts well before the child can even walk.
It does.
There's this fascinating 2024 study by Chen and colleagues that focused entirely on 9-month-old babies.
Mm. Oh, the findings there are incredible. They tracked fathers reading to their 9-month-olds. Now, obviously, at 9 months, a baby does not understand the plot of a picture book.
Right, they're just chewing on the corners.
Pretty much. But the researchers found that babies who received this frequent reading time with their dads possessed significantly stronger language skills by 18 months.
Wait, how is that possible if they don't even understand the words yet?
It is the rhythm, the tone, and the reciprocal vocalization. When a father reads, his voice provides auditory stimulation that helps physically build the neural architecture of the language centers in the brain.
That's literally building the brain.
Exactly. The baby babbles, the dad pauses and responds. It's a process scientists call serve and return.
Serve and return, which makes a recent statistic from the National Literacy Trust so vital to share. In their 2024 report, they found that while 3 out of 4 dads chat with their kids every single day,
which is great.
Yeah, it's wonderful. But only about 1 in 2 dads read to them daily. Chatting is great, but reading introduces a completely different vocabulary and sentence structure that a child simply won't hear in everyday kitchen conversation.
Right. The vocabulary in a book is so much richer.
Exactly. That reading time is a massive, untapped opportunity for brain growth.
It truly is the spark. But, you know, a spark needs a specific environment to catch fire. Which brings us to a crucial pivot in the research.
Right. If the involved dad provides this incredible spark for learning, this executive function boot camp, what happens if that spark is happening in a powder keg?
That's the big question.
If the environment itself is totally unpredictable, does that 10-minute bonus still hold up? I mean, you can't build a strong tower in an active earthquake zone.
You really can't. You need a solid foundation. You need the ultimate safety net, which the literature defines as a stable home.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, because the data from Ohio State University requires us to completely bust a common myth here.
Let's bust it.
When society talks about a stable home, the default image is often like a massive house, a white picket fence, a high income bracket, and 2 married parents. But the research explicitly rejects that definition.
Entirely. The scientific definition of home stability has absolutely nothing to do with wealth or marital status.
Oh.
It is entirely about predictability and safety. It means living in the same place for a steady period, so the environment is known. It means having the same caring adults present consistently. And perhaps most importantly, it means having simple, reliable routines.
Predictability.
Yes.
Because the human brain, especially a developing one, is obsessed with knowing what comes next. When the brain doesn't know what comes next, things get incredibly stressful.
And we can actually measure that stress biologically. When a home is unstable, like when families are forced to move constantly or when the environment is chaotic or unsafe, the child's body interprets that unpredictability as a literal physical threat.
A physical threat.
Yes. The body's alarm system for danger gets stuck in the on position. Scientists refer to this as toxic stress.
And the sources mentioned that scientists actually measure this stress using a specific biomarker, right, called C-reactive protein, or CRP.
Yes, CRP.
Now, I know CRP is an indicator of inflammation in the body, but how does a messy or unpredictable house cause biological inflammation?
It is a fascinating but also really sobering biological cascade. A major study conducted in Los Angeles looked closely at children ages 3 to 10.
Okay.
And they found that kids living in homes with severe crowding, constant noise, or physical disrepair had significantly higher levels of CRP in their blood.
Yeah.
Because the environment was chaotic, their nervous systems were constantly on edge.
Wow.
And this triggers the release of cortisol, the stress hormone.
And when cortisol floods the brain, it specifically targets the prefrontal cortex, which is the exact area responsible for learning, memory, and focus.
Precisely. Chronic cortisol exposure causes systemic inflammation, which is what that CRP test measures. So the child's body is physically diverting energy away from cognitive development and funneling it entirely into survival mode.
This actually reminds me of a brilliant analogy from the research regarding cognitive load.
Oh, the computer one.
Yeah. If you want to explain this concept to a kid, tell them their brain is like a computer tablet. If a home is unpredictable, a child has all these invisible apps open in the background draining their battery.
Exactly.
They have the worry app open, the fear app running, the what's for dinner app buffering.
That is a perfect way to visualize cognitive load. The tablet is running hot. It's glitching.
So when that child sits down in a classroom and tries to open the learning app or the making new friends app, the tablet just freezes. It simply does not have the processing power available.
Right. But a stable home with its predictable routines effectively forces those background worry apps to close.
Oh, I love that.
It lowers the cortisol, which lowers the CRP. It turns off the toxic stress alarm, so the brain has the battery power to focus on growth. And the stakes here are remarkably high. Well, a landmark 2003 study by Burrs demonstrated that this childhood instability doesn't just result in lower grades in the short term. The chronic inflammation associated with high CRP actually leads to significantly poorer physical health when those children become adults.
That is heavy. So the stability of the home you experience at age 6 echoes all the way into your cardiovascular and immune health at age 40.
It does. It really is the ultimate safety net, which is why the most compelling part of this research is seeing how these two variables, the involved dad and the stable home, synthesize, how they team up.
The superpower combo, the spark plus the safety net.
Exactly. Think about how this plays out functionally. A dad encourages a child to take a safe risk. Let's say it is tackling a really frustrating puzzle that makes the child want to quit.
Okay.
The dad provides the encouragement and the focus, but the stable home provides the underlying security required to actually take that cognitive risk.
Right, because the child knows on a subconscious level that if they fail the puzzle, the world won't end. They have a predictable, loving place to land. The risk doesn't feel like life or death.
And this combination becomes incredibly protective when families face external hardships. A 2018 study by Baker and colleagues found that father involvement was an even stronger catalyst for a child's learning in families actively facing poverty.
Wait, I want to make sure I'm hearing that correctly. The dad's involvement matters more when the family has less money.
That is exactly what the data indicates. When financial resources are scarce and the external world is highly stressful, a father's active, focused role becomes a major psychological shield.
That is amazing.
The involvement buffers the child from the stress of poverty, keeping that learning app running smoothly despite the external lack of resources.
To really ground this in reality, let's look at two hypothetical archetypes based directly on this data. Think about a kid whose bedtime is consistently at 8 p.m. Let's call him Leo.
Okay, Leo.
Leo's family lives in the same apartment year after year, so his environment is a known quantity. Furthermore, his dad plays restaurant with him every single night, taking silly orders and pretending to cook.
The result of that specific environment is profound. Because Leo's baseline stress is low and his executive function is practiced daily, he is brave at school.
Right.
He tries new games, he volunteers answers, and his brain is completely free to explore.
Now, contrast that with Mia. Mia's living situation is much less predictable. Her family is forced to move every year due to rising rent, so she is constantly losing her neighborhood friends.
That's so tough.
And having to recalibrate to a new normal. She doesn't have a reliable routine after school. On top of that, her dad works long hours away from home, so she misses out on that consistent spark of engagement.
Because Mia's worry apps are constantly running in the background, her tablet is completely out of battery by the time she gets to school. The research predicts that a child in Mia's position will struggle with anxiety, find it difficult to form peer relationships, and get easily overwhelmed by complex schoolwork.
Looking at Leo and Mia side by side, it is a stark, almost heartbreaking contrast.
It is a stark contrast, yes. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, the sources emphasize a vital, empowering point. This data is absolutely not here to assign blame or induce guilt in parents who are doing their best in tough circumstances.
Absolutely not.
The purpose of this research is illumination. It is about proving that consistent dad time and steady routines offer an incredible advantage. And the most hopeful news of this entire deep dive is that both of those things can be actively changed and improved starting today.
Yes, you have the power to upgrade the construction site. Which brings us to the action plan. We want to translate this research into practical tools you can use immediately.
Let's do it.
First, if you're raising a kid, empower them to be the boss of their own brain. Tell them it is okay to advocate for what they need.
Yes, teach them to ask for it.
Teach them to go up to a parent or guardian and ask, "Can we play one game of chess? Or will you read one chapter of this book with me?"
Just 15 minutes. And remind them that they can actually help build the home's stability, too.
Tell so.
Encourage them to tell an adult one good thing and one hard thing about their day. That simple daily ritual builds immense connection and safety.
I love that.
You can also empower a child to be a helper by giving them a simple daily chore, like feeding a pet at the exact same time every day. That builds the routine that lowers everyone's cortisol levels.
Now, for the adults listening, the project managers of the site, what is the immediate takeaway?
My professional advice, backed by this data, is to first schedule the dad time or the dedicated caregiver time. Put it on your calendar just like a non-negotiable work meeting.
Treat it like it's crucial.
Because it is. 15 minutes of focused phone away play. Second, audit your routines. They do not have to be rigid or military style. They just need to be predictable.
Right.
Having dinner at roughly the same time or following the same sequence before bed signals safety to a child's brain.
And we know life happens. Things change. But when they do, communicate those changes simply. Like, we're moving next month. Your new room will have a blue rug. We will all be together.
Exactly. Close those background worry apps for them before they start draining the battery.
Simple and clear.
Finally, there is a crucial compassionate point drawn from the sociology sources. Caregivers need to operate as a team. Do not let one person carry the entire cognitive load of the household.
That's huge.
And if your family is struggling with housing instability, food insecurity, or overwhelming stress, reaching out for help from community centers, schools, or local organizations is not a failure.
No, not at all.
It is a sign of profound strength and the most protective thing you can do for a child's brain.
So what does this all mean? We have covered a massive amount of biology and behavioral science today.
We really have.
It means that growing up is a big, highly complex job. It means that involved fathers or dedicated father figures provide a very specific kind of cognitive spark that builds executive function and resilience. And it means that stable, predictable homes provide the biological peace and quiet necessary to actually utilize those skills. Together, they are a literal superpower.
And I want to leave anyone listening with a warm reassurance. If your family dynamic does not look like the ideal scenario we've described today, that is genuinely okay.
Yes, please hear that.
Acknowledging the mechanics of how this works is the first step. Monumental generational changes often begin with a single small adjustment to a daily routine or one honest conversation with a trusted adult or counselor. Stability is built one brick at a time.
I think that is the perfect place to land. But I do want to leave you with one final provocative thought to mull over on your own.
Okay.
We learned today that just 10 minutes of a dad engaging in rough and tumble play or reading a story can literally alter the physical architecture of a child's brain, dictating their academic performance 2 whole years into the future.
Mind-blowing.
So imagine what other tiny 10-minute daily habits you and your family could start today to completely rewire your brain's construction site for an even better future. Keep building, everyone.
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.